We are continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So they're in Trelawney's class with Umbridge. "Good afternoon, Professor Trelawney," said Professor Umbridge with her wide smile. "You received my note, I trust, giving the time and date for your inspection?" Professor Trelawney nodded curtly and, looking very disgruntled, turned her back on Professor Umbridge and continued to give out books. Still smiling, Professor Umbridge grasped the back of the nearest armchair and pulled it to the front of the class so it was a few inches behind Professor Trelawney's seat. She then sat down, took out her clipboard from her flowery bag, and looked up expectantly, waiting for the class to begin. Professor Trelawney pulled her shawls tight about her with slightly trembling hands and surveyed the class through her hugely magnifying lenses. "We shall continue our study of prophetic dreams today," she said in a brave attempt at her usual mystic tones, although her voice shook slightly. "Divide into pairs, please, and interpret each other's latest nighttime visions with the aid of the oracle." She made as though to sweep back to her seat, and saw Professor Umbridge sitting right beside it, and immediately veered left toward Parvati and Lavender, who were already deep in discussion about Parvati's most recent dream. Harry opened his copy of the Dream Oracle, watching Umbridge covertly. She was making notes on her clipboard now. After a few minutes, she got to her feet and began to pace the room in Trelawney's wake, listening to her conversations with students and posing questions here and there. Harry bent his head hurriedly over his book. "Think of a dream, quick," he told Ron, "in case the old toad comes our way." "I did it last time," Ron protested. "It's your turn now. You tell me one." "Oh, I don't know," said Harry desperately, who could not remember dreaming anything over the last few days. "Let's say I dreamed I was drowning Snape in my cauldron. Yeah, that'll do." Ron chortled as he opened his dream oracle. "Okay, we've got to add your age to the date you had the dream, the number of letters in the subject. Would that be drowning or cauldron or Snape?" "It doesn't matter. Pick any of them," said Harry, chancing a glance behind him. Professor Umbridge was now standing at Professor Trelawney's shoulder, making notes while the divination teacher questioned Neville about his dream diary. "What night did you dream this again?" said Ron, immersed in calculations. "Well, I don't know, last night, whenever you like," Harry told him, trying to listen to what Umbridge was saying to Professor Trelawney. They were only a table away from him and Ron now. Professor Umbridge was making another note on her clipboard, and Professor Trelawney was looking extremely put out. "Now, no," said Umbridge, looking up at Trelawney. "You've been in this post how long exactly?" Professor Trelawney scowled at her, arms crossed and shoulders hunched, as though wishing to protect herself as much as possible from the indignity of the inspection. After a slight pause, in which she seemed to decide that the question was not so offensive that she could reasonably ignore it, she said in a deeply resentful tone, "Nearly 16 years." "Quite a period," said Professor Umbridge, making a note on her clipboard. "So is Professor Dumbledore who appointed you?" "That's right," said Professor Trelawney shortly. Professor Umbridge made another note. "You are great-granddaughter of the celebrated seer Cassandra Trelawney?" "Yes," said Professor Trelawney, holding her head a little higher. Another note on the clipboard. "But I think, correct me if I'm mistaken, that you are the first in your family since Cassandra to be possessed of second sight." "These things often skip three generations," said Professor Trelawney. Professor Umbridge's toad-like smile sweetened. "Of course," she said sweetly, making yet another note. "Well, you could just predict something for me then." She looked up inquiringly, still smiling. Professor Trelawney had stiffened as though unable to believe her ears. "I don't understand you," said Professor Trelawney, clutching convulsively at the shawl around her scrawny neck. "I'd like you to make a prediction for me," said Professor Umbridge very clearly. Harry and Ron were not the only people watching and listening sneakily from behind their books now. Most of the class were staring transfixed at Professor Trelawney as she drew herself up to her full height and her beads and bangles clinking. "The inner eye does not see upon command," she said in scandalized tones.
I see, said Professor Umbridge softly, making yet another note in her clipboard. But wait, said Professor Trelawney suddenly, in an attempt at her usual ethereal voice, though the mystical effect was ruined somewhat by the way it was shaking with anger. I think I do see something, something that concerns you. Why, I sense something dark, some grave peril.
Professor Trelawney pointed a shaking finger at Professor Umbridge, who continued to smile blandly, eyebrows raised.
I'm afraid that you are in grave danger, finished Professor Trelawney dramatically.
There was a pause. Professor Umbridge's eyebrows were still raised.
Right, she said, scribbling on her clipboard once more. Well, if that's really that's the best you can do.
She turned away, leaving Professor Trelawney standing rooted to the spot, her chest heaving. Harry caught Ron's eye, and knew what Ron was thinking exactly the same as he was. They both knew that Professor Trelawney was an old fraud, but on the other hand, they loathed Umbridge so much that they felt very much on Trelawney's side, until she swooped down on them a few seconds later.
Well, she said, snapping her long fingers under Harry's nose, uncharacteristically brisk, let me see the start you've made on your dream diary, please.
And by the time she had interpreted Harry's dreams at the top of her voice, all of which, even the ones that involved eating porridge, apparently foretold a gruesome and early death, he was feeling much less sympathetic toward her. All the while, Professor Umbridge stood a few feet away, making notes on that clipboard. And when the bell rang, she descended the silver ladder first, so that she was waiting for them all when they reached Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson 10 minutes later. And maybe we'll stop there.
I do like that kitten.
You're an adorable kitten, Boo, and I love you so much. Sleep well, and I hope you have a great day tomorrow.
Good night, Boo.